Hey, everyone. We're so glad you're here. I'm Alisa Monjadas. I'm a marketing leader and executive coach.
I'm Courtney Copeland, and I'm an accountability and wellness coach.
And I'm Dr. Mirari Simeon, an activator of talent, HR executive, author, and working mom.
If you're anything like the successful multicultural women we interview on the What Rules podcast, you've learned that you can't do it alone. And we teach women like yourself to outsmart the game to get ahead in your career.
We're really talking about those rules that we grew up with as women and the expectations that have been placed on us.
Our mission is to change the face of leadership at What Rules Podcast. As you listen to our talented guests, take note and take action. Go ahead, go and break those rules.
Hello, hello, everybody. Happy Women's History Month.
Yay!
Woohoo! Insert applause here. I want to give a huge shout out to the women on this podcast team, Courtney, Dr. Madati, Alexandra behind the scenes. Like, we could not do any of this without each other. And since we are talking about community over competition and how women can advocate for each other, I just really appreciate the relationship I have with each of you and how it really feels like a team. So thank you so much.
Oh, Alisa, you're going to make me cry. I'm like, aw. Well, we couldn't do it without you. So thank you for everything that you do for us and for the podcast and for all the women listening.
One of our themes is don't do it alone. And this podcast is also the definition of that. Like, it's three of us. It's like the three of us are nothing at all. Okay. That's what it is. I've actually had some people ask, hey, would you want to do a podcast on your own? And I was like, nope. Nope. I want my team of women. Yeah. And I specifically like doing it with women. Yeah. Like, it just feels so good and so fulfilling.
So talking about women and with the theme of celebrating Women's History Month, I got to tell you, was it 2 weeks ago, I had a meeting that I wanted to have with this specific CHRO, and I saw that they had worked at a previous company with someone that I knew. So I texted the woman, and I'm like, hey, do you know this person? Can you tell me a little bit more about how I should prepare? Well, let me just tell you how this woman just went all out. And she said, I can do more than that. I am going to let him know that I know you and that he should take this call with you. And I was just like, what?
That's
and
so
not
nice.
Only did she do that, but she texted him. Then he replied back and said, absolutely, I'll schedule time with her. She sent me a picture of the whole conversation. Like, here you go. You guys are connected. And I was just thinking, how beautiful is that? Like, that didn't cost her anything to share her network and really make that connection. So I share that as a way for us or anybody listening to pay it forward, because I know that's something I want to continue to do. And I was just, I'm still in awe of how quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And it
she
didn't
just,
matter
like, made
the
it
level.
For
they
you.
Were just, yes, in seconds, Alisa, seconds. I was just like, huh. I wasn't even asking for all that. I was just wanted to know how to prepare. And this person was like, I'll do more than that. So it was so nice to see another woman just go all out and really hook a sister up.
That's so awesome.
As we all know, it is Women's History Month. And the theme for this month is women who advocate for equality, diversity, and inclusion. That's what we do. Like, we love to talk about this all day long. I couldn't be more excited that it's the theme. And we're here at the What Rules podcast to bring all of this to light. Like, let's dive in. Let's talk about it. And we really aim to eliminate discrimination, yes, in our lives, yes, in society, but also our jobs. Like, we absolutely have to talk about how do we eliminate this in corporate America. Let's get into it.
When we think about how multicultural women can have impact, it's really powerful when we're supporting ourselves and other women of color at work. So if you are high up in the chain or you're just getting into corporate America, there's so many opportunities to ask for help and also to give help. And it's interesting because so often, I don't know if you guys have come across this, but a lot of times women don't want to help each other because they think they can't or they won't or it won't make a difference or it's not allowed or there's like all these layers of complexity. Women are pretty complex, which makes us awesome, but also it can kind of like become a barrier for us. And so for this episode, we want to debunk the myths that women tend to have that we've heard, that other people have shared with us. And like, let's just dive in one at a time and talk about these myths and get to the bottom of it so that whoever's listening, you will be empowered to go and help another woman. And if you have any doubts or fears, like, let's just squash them today. Myth number one, I'm one person and can't change the status quo. Myth number two, if you sponsor another woman and she fails, it's on you. Myth number three, we all need to pay our dues to get ahead. So if you help another multicultural woman advance, she won't get it because she doesn't know what it's like to pay her dues. Oh, that's a juicy one.
So the first myth is, I'm only one person. I can't change the status quo. So what's really interesting, I had a conversation with my boss a couple months ago, and we're very similar, but we also have our differences. And one of the differences that she pointed out, she said, I really value significance and you really value impact. Mm. And I will never forget this. And the reason it really stuck with me is because she has a really big platform. She has served thousands of people. And that's what brings her fulfillment. And I am more like, give me 10 people and I'm going to change the world one conversation at a time. And so when we're thinking about this myth that's like, hey, I'm only one, don't diminish your impact. That's not true. In order to dismantle a belief system, it has to start with one person, and each person has their own contribution. And I don't think that should be belittled at all.
When you impact one person, you impact the generations under them. And I go back to my story long ago when one person gave me the opportunity. And it is because of that opportunity that my children have a different lifestyle, that my children's children will have a different lifestyle, that my parents are able to have a different lifestyle. So to me, I look at it as like one person has more power than they can deeply imagine. Because just think about it. My family has this impact because of what the opportunity somebody gave me. But I've been able to pay it forward and mentor and help other women. So honestly, I look at it like this. Yes, you can count the seeds. And I didn't come up with this. Somebody did. You can count the seeds, but you cannot count the fruits that come from that tree. And at the end of the day, I truly believe if each person debunked and just broke this myth, their impact will just be out of this world by the number of people that it could impact. I truly believe that the work that we're doing here, it's being heard globally. And we're impacting women that we don't even know.
How do we get in this place where we start to think like, but I'm really like, I'm a nobody, or I'm just like barely getting into my career, or because we've all been there, right? You start to like doubt yourself and tell yourself all these lies. And then we start spiraling backwards to think like, I'm just going to keep my head down and work and not worry about anybody else but me. What would you say to yourself if you were in that moment?
Not to make this like overly spiritual, but I do think it's important to take a step back and realize that we're all a part of a bigger plan and know that we're all a part of a bigger community. And I know we all have different connections and we have different capacities for conversations, but know that like your presence makes an impact. Your existence matters. Your words matter. If you don't have 10 people in your community to reach out to, just start with your closest friend or family member, your mom, and find ways to champion and honor their accomplishments and their wins. I actually think that it's important to make it a goal, like each week reach out to one person that you maybe haven't spoken to. And it can be a 2-sentence text message, that simple. But I think a great rule here that I've been following, you know how people say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Mm-hmm. So I think of that differently. If you have something nice to say, you better say it.
Say it.
Say it, because somebody needs to hear it. And you don't have that positive thought for no reason. Don't keep it to yourself.
You know, I would also add that sometimes it's not even saying anything. It's just how you conduct yourself and you behave yourself, and sometimes how you even interact with people. Somebody may say, I'm not even in a high-level position, or I'm just new on this in this role. But sometimes that positive attitude, that loving attitude, just being a person of gratitude around somebody else makes an impact. And even just saying thank you, or just saying, hey, great job, whatever it may be, you just made an impact on somebody who maybe hasn't heard it in a while. So I would say throw the titles away. You can make an impact just by being you from wherever you're sitting, by either listening. You don't even have to say anything. Just actually listen to a person, and you could be like, oh my God, Courtney, Elisa, thank you so much for listening to me. Like, I really needed to just get that out. And absolutely, if you're in a position of power, then yes. And you're the only one there. You leverage your voice at the table. Do not rob yourself of losing the opportunity to invest in the future of someone that you may never even know. That's kind of the way I look at it. Like, you could just, you don't need a title to really invest in somebody else.
It makes me think of some of the past guests that we've had on our podcast. Yes. We have a lot of women who have accessed their personal circles, like Courtney, when you were talking about friendship and like just like be a good friend. And I remember Rukmini Reddy, she at Slack, she was like, I just share my salary with my friends and we just like talk about what we've done well, because like if it's not being talked about anywhere else, at least I'm gonna chat about all the great things I'm doing at work with, or like with my friends. Like, just texting someone being like, hey, guess what? I just did this thing. And then you being like a champion saying, that's awesome.
I have a network of incredible women around me who really empower and enable me. So I just have like so many people who I've partnered with over the years, and I can call them up, like, especially if you're like a venture capitalist and you're a talent partner, like I call them, I'm like, what do cap tables look like these days? And bam, they will send me like data that says, when we're investing in companies, if they make this amount of ARR, this is what you should expect as seat at the table, this percentage of company. I'm like, mind blown, right? Because good old imposter syndrome. Why do I, immigrant Rukmini, deserve all this? Like, but it's like really eye-opening to like have that data. And I remember like many years ago, I was negotiating a job and the person like made me this first offer and I felt like queen of the world. And then I looked at the sheet and I was like, oh my God, they're underpaying me by 50%.
Oh my goodness.
So I went back and I was like, oh, that won't work for me. I have data that says that I need 50% more. And they're like, totally. And they just amended the offer right then.
Wow. 50% more. That's huge.
The power of data.
The power of data. Yeah. And the power of a network and women lifting each other up, right? It's invaluable.
If you're wondering, how can I still make an impact if I'm not necessarily at a certain level in my job, ask a question. Like, questions are so, so powerful, and it lets people know what you care about. Mm. That's the only reason we ask questions. It's because we care about something. Asking questions can lead to more solutions. And it opens up a door to, you know, maybe that SVP or someone at a different level than you to welcome you in and be a part of their impact. Like, I think we have to give ourselves those kind of opportunities to be a part so that we aren't alone.
It goes back to what Mirari was saying about just like being present and showing up. And so it's like all about, if you are just one person, you can show up and make a huge difference. And you show up in the way that you show up show up in a way that's authentic to you. Okay, let's move on to myth number two. This one is my favorite. If you sponsor another woman and she fails, it's on you.
I've been thinking about this all
really?
Week. For some, yeah, for some reason, I've been thinking about this myth all week.
Why?
Yeah.
You know what, Elisa? Someone that you introduced me to, we connected this week. Mm. And I was just thinking about the women who seek to empower me feel if I don't follow through on something or like if I fail
well, like real life example, my friend was like, hey, Courtney hasn't like gotten back to me like for months. And I was like, well, that's on her. And you did, and it worked out. It wasn't a big deal. But like,
yeah.
I have that mentality with everybody. And you know I adore you. And of course, I'm not going to set you up to fail or throw you under the bus. But like, I wasn't yeah. going to be like, Courtney, have you talked to her? Courtney, she's waiting. Courtney, I connected you, or did you respond? Like, I could have done that. But I chose not to because you're an adult. And you probably had a good reason for not connecting, or maybe you literally just missed it or forgot. Whatever your reason was, it's not my responsibility to make sure you
follow through.
You
did your part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. And I think that's where people get confused. It's like the same way that the example I gave when we opened up about the woman who connected me to the other person. She connected us, but it's up to me or him to kind of move forward. At the end of the day, I think too many people may get offended when those connections don't happen. That shouldn't be a reflection on you. You did your part. And I think we take more responsibility than we want to. The same way, right? Like we're wired like that. We want to fix the whole world. We want to fix the whole community. Of course we can. But I think there comes a time when we start talking about having healthy behaviors. Hey, I made that connection. Y'all go and have fun, and whatever comes out of it, it's theirs.
The reason why I'm passionate about this one is because last year I coached 50 senior vice presidents who had opportunities to sponsor other women. And this came up in so many conversations where they would say, I'm going to train this person for a year and then recommend them for a position because I want to make sure that they're prepared. And there's a fine line because, yes, you want to set people up for success. And if you do have the power to prepare someone, great. But it's also like real sponsorship is just being mentioned in another room that you can't be in. If I'm going to get you ready for a year, like I'm going to help you, I'm going to walk you through this, that's I'm mentoring you. Mm. But sponsoring is just if a job opportunity comes up, I'm going to put your name in the hat. And that's it.
I'll speak to those listening who are sponsors for other women as someone who's typically on the receiving end at this point in my career. I don't think it's something that any sponsor should take personally because if you're sponsoring someone or mentoring someone, that means they're in a growth stage. It means they're trying to figure something out. It means they're likely gaining tons of knowledge and information and they're like, okay, all of this sounds great. But it also takes a lot of discernment to figure out, okay, so what's best for me? It doesn't mean that you didn't do a great job supporting them. It just means that someone's really trying to figure it out and likely learn. And also might struggle with imposter syndrome. Like, let's say you put my name in a room, and if I am struggling with imposter syndrome and I'm like, I can't even imagine sitting at that table. Maybe it's the avoidance behavior is rooted in fear, you know, and that's not something that you can help someone move past that, but it's not necessarily your responsibility as a sponsor or a mentor to force someone to overcome that, right? Like your job is to kind of meet someone where they're at.
I do believe that in being in corporate America, that when you refer someone, right, your reputation does go with it. So let's keep it real at the end of the day. No one wants to refer someone who is going to let you down. I know people I won't refer, right?
Yeah, there's like your integrity, right, and credibility that you have to deserve.
Right. So what I would say is if somebody does refer you for a job, like, number one, make sure that you're prepared. Now, I do get, hey, you might have imposter syndrome or so. This is your opportunity because you have a responsibility to get a mentor, to ask for help, to ask for that support and be ready. Because to your point, Courtney, let's keep it real. A multicultural woman referring another multicultural woman in corporate America probably doesn't happen a lot because if we look at the numbers, there's still not a lot of us in those positions. So when it does happen, be ready and be ready to represent. Because whether we like it or not, people are going to look at that. And there's an, you know, there's an integrity. Like, I'll tell you this much. If I keep referring you for jobs and you keep messing up, I'm not going to refer you anymore. So there's unintentional consequences to your future that you walked into, and you kind of closed the doors for yourself. So be ready and do what you can. Be prepared. Get mentors. We can't talk about that enough.
And if you are a sponsor, you are putting yourself at some risk by recommending someone else, but you're not putting yourself at all risk. So you are putting your reputation on the line for a little bit. But if you think about that, performance is only 10% of the consideration for promotion. Exposure is 60%. So women of color, multicultural women, we have to get that exposure. So like, if you're on the fence about someone, I would say take the risk because you could be impacting someone's life. Like, most of us, this community of women, are not seen unless someone else brings light on us. Yes, it's our responsibility to do the best that we can. But if you are a sponsor, have an opportunity to sponsor other women, take a step and bring those other women to light because we cannot do it without you. It is so imperative. And I want to bring another guest into this conversation that we've had, Meredith Harper. She's the Chief Information Security Officer at Synchrony. And she credits her female supervisors for partnering with her, investing in her. So let's listen to what she said.
When I look at the first 20 years of my career, I always reported to Caucasian men, right? But when I got to the 20-year mark, I got a chance to report to my first woman. Mary Alice Anna Carrico was the new CIO of the company that I worked for. She is probably one of the most influential leaders I have ever worked for. And I always still talk about her because, again, she took a vested interest in me and said, I'm going to partner with you. Tell me what you want to do in your career. And she's helped me get there to this day.
Meredith just reminded us again that we need you. We need you to sponsor. And at the end of the day, if you're not sure, Alisa said a key data point. Exposure is 60%. Expose her. That's all you need to do. Expose her. Make the introduction because that is 60% of it. So keep that in mind.
Okay, myth number three. We all need to pay our dues to get ahead. So if you help another multicultural woman advance, she won't get it because she won't know what it's like to pay her dues.
That makes me mad.
Well, this is one of my favorites.
but it is real. Women of color only make up 13% of managers in the corporate pipeline. They make up 7% of VPs and only 6% have C-suite roles. Like, what the heck? These women, why are they not bringing others along?
And with stats like that, we're only hurting ourselves. Like you said, Courtney, it gets me mad. Every time we pass on the opportunity to support, mentor, sponsor, or just even expose another multicultural woman, we damage ourselves. We damage ourselves.
I'm so irritated. I'm just so annoyed with the part that's like, pay your dues. Like, I understand why it's important to have certain experiences that are tough because it builds your character and it helps your understanding and it gives you so much wisdom if you go through those experiences. But I don't like the connotation behind it that's like, just because I struggled, you should struggle as much as me. Like,
yeah.
Who said that was a good idea?
And these are real perspectives yeah. that are happening today as we speak
in corporate America
and have been happening for years.
You know, they say hurt people hurt people. Because these women have been beaten up for years, right? Mm-hmm. They've gone through so many sacrifices. You talk to a woman in the thick of this, like, they are a different person now after being exposed to all this. Like, it's funny. Like, we want more women in, but it's a dangerous place to be. So that's why we want to change it to make it a safe place, right? But if you think about a woman who's been, you know, just gone through the ringer, and now someone fresh and, you know, teary-eyed mm-hmm. is going to be like, oh, can you help me? It's like, oh, no, honey. You don't even know.
But the reality is that both of them have had the same experiences. When I think about women, period, growing up in corporate America or even just daily life, there is nobody that could tell me that multicultural women have it easy.
Right.
Period. I would like to challenge that if somebody wants to talk about it. But what I found is that both of these two women that I have in mind, both of their perspectives came from their experiences. So let's call her Sarah. So Sarah just faced numerous challenges in corporate America. And let's call the other one Maya. So did Maya. But their perspectives on these real life challenges brought up different thinking for both of them. Sarah's perspective is, you know, paying my dues made me earn my place in corporate America. While Maya is like, over my dead body, do I want another woman to go through what I mm-hmm. went through? Right?
That's real too.
And yes, yeah. And she's believing that it shouldn't be a prerequisite for success. Like you said, Courtney, yes, there are things that need to be done, but it should not be a prerequisite for success. And because of that, Maya believes that to create a more inclusive and equitable corporate America, you do not need to pay your dues. And she works towards changing that in the workplace every day. Meanwhile, Sarah is still bitter. Because to your point, Alisa, here comes somebody else and they're moving up. And she's like, well, she didn't have to go through what I went through. We should be celebrating. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, finally, somebody didn't have to have a mental breakdown. Somebody didn't have to choose. Somebody didn't have to, you know, not spend the time that they needed on something personal because somebody thought it was important to pay their dues. So I get a little passionate about it, but at the end of the day, I look at it like this. This is still happening today. There are two different mentalities in corporate America. But at the end of the day, the goal is the same. If we want to create a more inclusive culture, we have to be intentional about breaking the cultural norms that many times unintentionally stand in the way of success. Especially of multicultural women.
I think if we're talking about inclusion, you also have to consider the inclusion of different types of experiences. So let that person bring their uniqueness to the team, mm-hmm. to the position. Their struggles are different than your struggles, and that's okay. But just because it's not the same exact struggle, it doesn't disqualify someone. That's not fair. And I know everyone can hear the passion in my voice behind this because I had a terrible experience 5 years ago now. And I was going for a position that was ambitious, but definitely not outside of my ability. And at the time, I was very green, but I was like, I'm a very fast learner. I can do this. And I got on a call with this woman who completely picked me apart. And I specifically wanted to talk to her because she was a woman of color in the position that I desired. And she grew from there. And this woman had an opportunity to help me advance and fully picked me apart. Like, she made a verbal checklist and took me down. And I just remember in that moment being like, wow, you could have really made a difference in someone's life. And instead, you chose to say really hurtful things. Like, what did you gain from that? What did our community of women gain from that? Mm. And guess what? Because of comments like that, it's taking down the number of us that could be represented in that space. If you see that someone has a weakness in a certain spot, don't let that be a reason they're disqualified. Instead, empower them with a resource to say, hey, maybe you're not there yet, but I think you can be. Just focus on this. Reframe it. You can still help people advance.
I love that. And one of the things that inspires me by other women is when they have pointed out a weakness, and to your point, either, hey, but I know somebody that can help you, or mm-hmm. here's a resource, or check this out. This may be something that can help you. At the end of the day, we are super powerful and strong, and we have a big community around us. So let's lift each other up. Let's not rob ourselves of what we've been given. We were given this opportunity to uplift someone. Take it. Don't throw that away, because you could be the difference between that person's confidence and that person's failure.
You know who did an exceptional job of this and is a great example? One of our recent guests, it was Shelly Archambault. She's one of the first Black female CEOs in the tech industry. Loved that conversation with her.
So if you're having a meeting or a conversation and someone is sitting at the table, might be a woman of color, right? And they haven't said anything yet, don't just assume they have nothing to say. Ask them. Give them the opportunity. Because some, as a result of a lot of different things, can be how your race, can be background, can be culture, whatever, are just not as comfortable pushing in to a conversation. So taking the opportunity to actually invite and to encourage can also help.
We could complain all day about the women who don't support other women, because, I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably have thought about a ton of other stories of women tearing each other down. I honestly wish it wasn't true, but I'm so proud of the women that we have interviewed who actually have made it to the top, quote unquote, because they give us hope, you know, like not every woman is bad. Not every multicultural woman doesn't support each other. There actually are women who are making a difference, yes, who are making a change, who are paying it forward, who are opening doors, giving us exposure. This does exist. So, you know, we talk a lot about how corporate America can be an evil place, but like there is hope. There are glimmers of hope in these women that we have talked to and in our podcast. And I'm so happy we get to celebrate them today. If you haven't listened to any episodes recently, like catch up, because there are women doing it right. Talk to us. We will connect you. Like, let's make it happen.
Yes. Go find yourself a group of women that will support you. There are millions of women out there. If you run into the ones that do not want to support you, it's okay. It's her loss. Go and find yourself a group of women who will be there and who will speak your name in the rooms that you are not in. She's out there.
Oh, it gives me the chills because they do exist.
Just ask one question. Full circle moment. If you feel like you can't make a difference, guess what? Just ask one question. Ask to talk to us. Ask to talk to one of our guests. Like, there's so many people here.
Want more advice on how to break the rules and outsmart the game to advance your career? Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and our website, whatrulespodcast.com, for more insight from our guests and hosts, and join our community on LinkedIn, where we discuss rule-breaking strategies for multicultural women. What Rules is a project of Zara Consulting and is supported by the amazing team at Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta with editing and music supervision by Joshua Ramsey and was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant. Our podcast cover was designed by Deleon Creative. Visit whatrulespodcast.com for more info, upcoming events, and all episodes of What Rules, including video, and make sure to give us a follow.